Good morning, good morning, my brothers and my sisters. You are looking live at the altar of the church, of the Churchtown Church of God. If you are watching this live, if you're watching it on Facebook, if you're watching the YouTube channel, you can see all of this. If you're listening on the podcast, you got a lot of good stuff coming, but you can't see what we're looking at right now. This is the front of the Churchtown Church of God, the screens that we use. There's the big screen that we use for movie night. Movie night's coming up. Let's take a walk. I'm in the front row on the pew. And let's turn this fan off so we stop making noise. Here's the rest of the church. There it is. Like I said, if you are watching this either live or later or on YouTube, this is very simple setup. Good morning, Sandy. I'm right here at the beginning, or at the altar of the church, the beginning of the church. Yes, I'm at the beginning of the church. And I'm just using my iPhone. You heard me complain about that a few times, just using my iPhone. It allows me, Rosie and I were talking, it allows me to interact just using my iPhone, as opposed to using the fancy camera. You see one of the fancy cameras there on the wall, and only the people operating the cameras can interact, so to speak, with anybody that's not, or that does. Does that make sense? I don't know why it's crooked. Is it crooked? There we go. Churchtonians. You love that term. I've been using that term more and more, even in church, the Churchtonians. Joshua, Judges, get me to the Psalms, please. I want to take a look at the Psalms. We're going to be in the Psalms. Go to the Psalms and turn right and you hit Isaiah. There we go. Psalm, there we are, right where we want to be. Psalm 27. We're going to hear this in church again. I want to try something in church because we, again, to press into biblical literacy, right? Understanding scripture. We're going to look at three major biblical concepts. We're going to take a look at salvation. We're going to take a look at holiness, and we're going to take a look at the second coming. But there's going to be less preaching and more reading. And what I want to do is for each concept, every biblical concept, I want to go Old Testament, Gospel, Epistle. So we can see that we didn't get our Bible by accident. Far from it. Our Bible is ordained by the Lord and was given to us by Him. The books that we have, the canon, the way it's constructed, all of the different forms of literature, everything that's in there is in there according to His will. And so you can't just say, oh, well, what do they say? The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. No such thing. Right? Same one, in other words. I'm trying to fix this. Maybe it fell over or something. There we go. And so we're going to give that a shot this weekend. And like I said, there's beautiful music. We got a new guitarist that's going to be playing with me. And we're going to be playing some fun songs together, and we're going to be taking a look at these three things, and each concept is going to have three readings. So one of the readings, the Old Testament reading for salvation, is Psalm 27. So you can bone up on your Psalm 27. Father, we pray that your word would be heard wherever you would like it to be heard today. Send it out around the world, Lord. Send it across the street. We pray that the reading of this psalm would touch and affect lives, soften hearts, repentance will occur, and the kingdom of God will grow. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in a good mood today, even though this air, this polar vortex is dry. Good heavens, it's dry. We're talking like 9% relative humidity dry. And that just makes for a mess, like skin and nasal passages, just a mess. But anyway, I'm one of those guys that complains when it's cold, and I complain when it's hot, and I complain when it's in between. You're not going to stop me. I'm too old. I'm going to change. I'm not going to change. I'm going to complain when it's hot. I'm going to complain when it's cold. I'm going to complain when it rains. I'm going to complain when it snows. Don't be a grumbler, scripture says. My heart is not the heart of a grumbler. I just get my feelings out that way. It's easy to see why Psalm 27 is the Psalm of Salvation. Are you with me? Do you have your Bibles out? Or do you want me to read it? Read the first line. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? I preached this one time before, and I read that line. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? And I closed the Bible, and I said, there you go. What more do you need to hear? What more am I going to say? What more is all of Scripture going to say? We'll learn a lot about that, sure, but that's it right there. That's the message. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? I understand that many of us are perpetually afraid. I know that most of us from time to time get afraid. I know that most of us from time to time feel maybe abandoned or alone. I get that. Those are very human feelings. We're going to get that. But the truth is the truth. You're never alone when you're a child of God. Never. I hope, I mean, you always have. No, thank you very much, Rosie. It's like 11 here or something like that. I don't know, 15. And dry. But the Christian is never alone if you're a child of God, because you're a child of God. And hopefully for the Christian, you have yourself a nice local body of Christ that you are invested in. And those that bond that you have as brother and sister, you're never alone. And you know that, even though you may feel feelings, there they are again, feel otherwise at times, you know if you reach out, you're going to have 50, 60, 70, 100, whatever, people who have your back. Around here, we have all kinds of different prayer chains in Churchtown Weekly, Churchtown Monthly. We like to communicate with each other, stay in touch, and reinforce this idea as much as we can. But here we are. I put up a post about church membership, and I love it. Red Pen Logic with Mr. B. I mean, if you don't subscribe to that, you should. I mean, he answers questions from skeptics, agnostics, and anti-Christians alike. He's a good apologist and a gifted teacher. And this person is saying, you should not ever become, good morning, a member of a church. And it's not biblical. You're a member of what? Okay. So he goes and he speaks, and he doesn't talk about legalism, which we don't talk about here. He doesn't talk about the rules and the regulations and the oppression and the committing finances, whatever the case may be. He talks about belonging. He talks about the things that are written right in to our vows. This is my place. These are my people. I'm standing up and saying that this is my place and these are my people. And I'm going to invest in this church with my all that I have, with who I am, I should say, with who I am. And I really like it because he gets away. And I know the church membership has a lot of different layers to it, especially as you are older, has a lot of different layers to it, a lot of different meanings. But around here, it just means you're saying, I like you guys. I think this body is worth it. And I'm going to stand up in front of you and say, you can count on me. I like that a lot. Good morning, good morning, good morning. My Carolina friend. So we got one line in to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? You could chant that as a mantra all day long. You have those little mini prayers that go through your head. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? It's all good now. It's all good after your passing. It's all good. We'll see each other again, brothers and sisters. Why are you afraid? Coming to that realization is absolutely liberating. Absolutely liberating. The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Are you picking up a theme here? Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most. Okay, here it comes. Now, see? You're going to be a selfish human being. You're going to ask, right? Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll be good the rest of my life. No, listen to this. Listen to what the psalmist says. Is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, meditating in his temple. Let me read that again. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. That doesn't sound very selfish to me. We turn around, we repent, we lay our lives at the feet of Jesus. We do want salvation. It's okay. When you hear the word and you know the goodness and you hear of salvation, you want to repent. You seek the Lord. It's okay. All the riches in the world, just reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. And all the riches, all the wisdom, all the intellect, all the everything in the world, the Lord will just cast it aside. Because he is your sustenance. Good morning, Dale. So let's put that all together one more time. The first stanza of Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will be confident, remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. There you go. We're going to read the rest of it, but there is the Psalm of Salvation. And we're talking about salvation now, right? Psalm 23 speaks of salvation now. He guides me up by still waters, his rod and his staff, they protect me. And surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It speaks of salvation now and salvation for eternity. Right now we're speaking of salvation now. This psalm is saying, I am a child of God. He is my light and my salvation. Why would I be afraid? That's a powerful message. It's a simple message, but it's a powerful message. I mean, that's really the way most of Scripture is. You can get into all of the ivory tower theological stuff, and that's fun to read about this and read about that and go really into the weeds with the historicity and the inflection of the words and all of those things. But the message of Scripture is simple. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? I turn to him. The one thing I ask is that we may be together. Pretty reasonable, especially since the Lord promises it. Pretty reasonable, right? Pretty cool. And this is hundreds of years before Jesus Christ. And this is to demonstrate the fact that the idea of a relationship with God, of salvation of your soul, began in Genesis and moves all throughout Scripture. Scripture is not random. There is nothing random about it. It's put together exactly the way it's supposed to be put together. And the message, the meta-narrative, the big message, goes from front cover to back cover. We did that one. For he will conceal me there when trouble comes, in the temple, his church, his he will hide me in his sanctuary. That's why it's called a sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. That's a Moses reference, you might say. Then I will hold my head high and above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. Now, Old Testament, that literally meant sacrifices. New Testament, we read Romans 12, and we say that, and we know that we are the living sacrifices now because of the work of Jesus Christ. We sacrifice our old self on the altar of the church, and Christ renews us with a new spirit, his spirit. So the concept for concept is the same. The way God has made that way is different. Everything changed with Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for me. No more animals, no more grain, no more oils, no more of that. But when I repent, I sacrifice my old, sinful, selfish, old self. And I walk around as this oxymoron. Now, Dale, don't tell me that I'm just the moron. I know that's where you're going. I know that's immediately where your brain went. Don't write it. But I walk around as this oxymoron, a living sacrifice. Sacrifices are not supposed to be living. Yet, because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, I have laid down my old self. I have been restored by the Spirit of God. I walk around and people see that the old man is dead and the new man is walking. Woo! That's good stuff. You ever think of that word living sacrifice? Those two words shouldn't go together. God made them go together. And we see that in every child of God. A living sacrifice. An oxymoron, Dale. Oxymoron. It means the two words that shouldn't go together, right? Like military intelligence, something like that. Hear me as I pray, O Lord, and be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. I love this. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. When you got him, you got him. And you see the reinforcement of this, the psalmist, the Psalm of David, the psalmist wants that relationship. He wants to be intentional in that relationship. He knows the benefit of that relationship is not just the destruction of my enemies. The benefit of that relationship is the salvation of my soul. The relationship that I have, and I will never be alone. Never be alone. You will never abandon me. And he says, very humanly, if you get angry with me, don't leave me, please. I'm going to try here. And he knows that the Lord is not going anywhere. He's expressing his feelings. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall in their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Then you can insert your enemies in the spiritual warfare that we engage in every single day of our lives as Christians in that stanza right there as well. Now, David was a king and he had enemies within his kingdom and he had enemies outside of his kingdom, literal physical enemies, always seeking to try to get a piece of his kingdom or destroy him totally. So there's that in the psalm. But we all have a great enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour. Right? We just read that in 1 Peter. So there's that. And then he finishes with this. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. There's just a sense in this psalm. When he declares his salvation, and he declares the Lord God Almighty to be his light, no, Dale. I would never, never, ever say anything like that. You know me. Nice guy, Dale. That hurts. It hurts. Not really. He declares the Lord his light and his salvation, and then he speaks of the relationship from there on out. He speaks of how it affects him. He speaks of his very real, why should I be afraid? I walk with the Lord. I'm in his temple, in his sanctuary. And it also speaks of like very human, but if I do something you don't approve, just tell me that I've sinned, right? Rebuke me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. I think as Christians, we run the gamut of those feelings, don't we? Post-resurrection, we still run the gamut of those feelings. We're declared righteous. We have laid our lives down. We have professed Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. We open ourselves to him and say, your will be done, not mine. Yet still, we might do something. And then we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, Lord. I'm sorry. Like, don't leave. Sounds legit to me in terms of feelings. That's what feelings. I mean, of course the Lord gave us feelings for a reason. The same reason that we feel pain, physical pain. It's danger. We can feel. We feel the genuine feelings for the Lord, genuine, honest feelings about those that we love. They are also a warning as well when something creepy's coming down the road and you're like, I got a feeling about this. You see what I'm saying? But they can also be led by the nose over here and over there. And once you are led by your feelings, or you lead with your feelings, if you go into church wanting to feel good, that's the wrong way to lead. You should come into church, experience congregation together, prayer, music, the word, fellowship. And that will lead to your feelings. Does that make sense? Your relationship with the Lord and with his children lead to your feelings. Your feelings shouldn't lead into that, because then you're going to be disappointed. You got this set of expectations. You're not seeking the will of God or the way that things are going to work out in that church service, etc., or that conversation that you're having, or in general everyday life. And you're going to go, well, this, you didn't make me feel the way I wanted to feel, so. So, am I making sense? It's the cart and the horse. It is your will. I'm coming with my expectations. I want you to fulfill my will and my desires, instead of coming with an open and contrite heart and saying, Lord, your will be done, this and every single day. And that will lead in a much more healthy and positive direction, at least in terms of your relationship with the Lord. So I'm looking forward to Sunday. It's another little twist that we're putting in there. And I'm going to try to, you know, go deeply into the word as much as we can. Each and every Sunday we do that. And then we, throughout the course of the week, turning on the lights, a devotion for the Churchtown Weekly, etc. We want to be steeped in the word as his children. Because I'm telling you, if your anchor doesn't hold, the tide of this culture will rip you out. Your anchor is your faith, and your faith is made whole by your roots growing deeply in the word of God. Right? So you can write a psalm like David did. You can write a psalm that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? He is my anchor. He is my fortress. He protects me. I love it. Good morning, Lori. Just finishing up, actually. But good morning. I hope that you and, this is, for those who don't know, this is what we call Saint Lori, because she is Dale's wife. And so everybody say, good morning, Saint Lori. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. I love you, Dale. I love you all. Father, we pray that your word will go out exactly where you want it to go. We pray that the word of salvation will reach hearts and minds of those who are saved, and their anchors will go deep, their roots will grow deep. And for those who are not saved, Lord, we pray that these words will melt their hearts, repentance will occur, and the kingdom of God will grow. We'll have more brothers and sisters. That's what we want. That's what we want. That's why we're here. The church is the tip of the spear. The church is the forward operating base of the kingdom of God. Get to church, learn, grow, become the disciples that he sees, and then go. Learn, grow, become, go. That's our rallying cry around here. Learn, grow, become, go. We'll grow the kingdom of God one conversation at a time. In Jesus' name, we'll see you in church.